A Georgia lawmaker wants to withhold funding from universities that welcome undocumented immigrants. That comes after Emory University's president said she's considering a petition circulated by students to become a so-called sanctuary campus. But what does that term even mean? We have Elisa Stiglich with us. She's a professor at the University of Texas School of Law's Immigration Clinic, and she joins me by Skype. Hi there.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to have you with us. Does that term sanctuary, does that have a legal definition?
It does not. And some of the challenge with the dialogue right now concerning cities, counties, states, and campuses that have been associated with sanctuary policies is that there's no specific specificity to what those policies are. There's no shared consensus as to what sanctuary means. The sanctuary movement harkens back to a time in the 80s when it was largely faith-based. Houses of worship were standing as an act of civil disobedience against U.S. government policies at that time targeting refugees coming from Central America, where the U.S. had taken a certain position on the civil wars that was prompting migration to the United States. But the policies that are considered now don't seem to be in the same vein of taking an act of civil disobedience.
Right.
They're not going that far.
Let's hear from the president of Agnes Scott College. This is Elizabeth Keish, who says that they're considering becoming, I don't know if she's ready to put sanctuary as a label, but considering welcoming undocumented immigrants.
I believe it is a moral issue that, young people who've done nothing wrong, these kids have done nothing wrong. You know, if an adult is caught speeding and their child is in the car, the child is not a criminal.
So I wanted to then play one more comment from her, and this is when we asked her if Agnes Scott College would become a sanctuary campus.
You know, I'm not quite sure what that label means. So, and also, I guess, you know, nothing has happened yet. The new federal administration has not made a decision on DACA, et cetera. And so to rush to take on a label, I don't believe is necessarily the right first step.
So DACA is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And she's saying that any decision she makes would be in reaction to something changing. What is the law now, and how are people afraid it might change?
Right. So there are a couple of things. One is that it's actually policy of the Federal Department of Homeland Security that enforces the U.S. immigration laws to have regard for colleges and other places of education as sensitive locations. So right now, the policy is, the norm is, ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, will not go onto campuses to engage in enforcement action. There is fear if President-elect Trump says what he campaigned on, which was to end the deferred action program for the so-called Dreamers, young people who have been in the United States for many years since their youth, brought here as children, currently in school or school graduates, and yet still lack immigration status. The most aggressive tack he could take is actual enforcement, using the information they provided to the U.S. government in applying for that protection against them, and sending out immigration and customs enforcement agents to effectuate arrests for deportation.
I'm speaking with Elisa Stiglich. She's a law professor at the University of Texas's Austin and teaches in the school's immigration clinic. We're talking about the possibility of sanctuary campuses. Both Emory is toying with that idea, as are other schools like Agnes Scott College here in Georgia. So since you mentioned President-elect Donald Trump, let's hear a little bit of what he has said about this. Many of the students we're talking about are covered under the existing Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA. So here is Trump recently on CBS's 60 Minutes.
People that are criminal and have criminal records, gang members, drug dealers, probably 2 million, it could even be 3 million. We're getting them out of our country, or we're going to incarcerate. But After the border is secured and after everything gets normalized, we're going to make a determination on the people that you're talking about, who are terrific people.
So I'm unclear on how that's different from the current Obama policy. Doesn't the Obama administration already target people with criminal records?
They do. They've actually had several different policies, but they have pledged to the policy that's currently in place does allocate enforcement resources to, one, those who are recent arrivals, recent border crossers, as well as those who have higher level violent criminal records.
Okay, so then now let's bring it back to where we started, which is the Georgia lawmaker, that person being Republican State Representative Earl Earhart, who wants to withhold funding from schools that declare so-called sanctuary status, whatever that means. We reached out to him. He did not return any of our messages, but he did speak to Fox News, and he explains why he supports blocking state dollars to universities that declare that they are sanctuaries for undocumented immigrant students.
It's a very simple equation for most people. Don't spend my tax money on these whining, crying students who can't accept the reality of the laws in this country. You don't blame the lawmakers for the laws that they pass that you don't want to follow.
What is the legal issue here? Is it okay for a state to decide they're not going to give federal funding to a school that accepts undocumented immigrants?
Well, the state doesn't have anything to say about federal dollars that go to places of higher education. In terms of state dollars that might be assigned, and here in Texas, our governor has made the same pledge. But it's unclear exactly what they're saying, because right now these students are at the schools and universities. If there has been a state law passed allowing for in-state tuition, which is usually one of the considerations, you know, that was passed in a Democratic process, and it would be incumbent upon a lawmaker to change through the legislative process again if there's been a shift in position.
So we do not have that law here. We don't offer in-state tuition for undocumented immigrants. But it sounds like what you're saying is schools are concerned that when the Trump administration takes over, that students that are currently studying at their universities could be arrested and or taken off campus and out of the country.
That would be certainly the most aggressive. And I think what schools are saying is that we have undocumented students. We have immigrants of all kinds who are students. We want to be a welcome, inclusive place, knowing that, you know, being a welcoming place for immigrants of all kinds helps support the academic and educational experience. You know, schools want to be attractive to the scholars and faculty and prospective students coming from abroad as well as here in the United States.
So let's hear again from Republican State Representative Earl Earhart. And here he is. He's actually, it sounds like he's describing that there's a lot more at stake for these schools than just state funding.
Millions of dollars. It's research grants, it's tuition equalization grants, which is a scholarship for these students. It's on a federal level, it's NIH grants. And if they don't want to participate in the laws of this country, then they can't participate in the tax laws that bring funds to them.
So what is he talking about there? Do you have an idea of what kind of legalities would be put into place were a school to declare it was going to continue to accept and educate these students?
Well, I mean, first, just to say that there is no law that says we cannot educate undocumented students. In fact, the Supreme Court in Plyler v. Doe said precisely the opposite, that immigration status is not a proper inquiry when providing public education. So that's very clear, that these schools are not in current violation of any law, and none of the petitioned requests that have been going to Emory or other schools ask the universities to violate any law. So it's And again, if the federal government or state governments take the position that they want to withhold funding to these campuses, they're going to find themselves on difficult constitutional ground as well. In other areas where the federal government has not liked something that states have done and threatened to withhold federal funding, the Supreme Court again has said there has to be a very close tie, close relationship between that funding and the thing that the federal government has complaint with. So, you know, the larger research dollars, I don't think they have any relevance if the concern is whether the federal immigration and agencies will have cooperation in a law enforcement activity.
So, but it sounds, we have about a minute left, and I want to be totally clear on one thing, which is that what you're saying is that even through Supreme Court precedent, a university accepting and educating an undocumented student is not breaking the law?
Correct.
Okay, that's clear enough. Alisa Steglish is a law professor at the University of Texas at Austin. She teaches in the school's immigration clinic. Again, we did invite Representative Earl Earhart to join us live. We did not hear back from him.